Today on Real Life Radio.
Your relationship to God is not based upon just your Sunday attendance and then that's it for the rest of the week. That's a dangerous place to be. Today, make sure that you're not in association with things of church or the Bible or the things of God. You may be even able to say, I know God. But can you say with boldness today that God knows me?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, God's Final Witness to the World, Part 5. You know, we can't pick up the Bible without reading about God's love and grace to a rebellious and fallen world, a world that's lost in sin that refuses to follow God. You see, all we have to do is look around to realize that our world is heading in the wrong direction. Even today, there's trouble among the nations, but in the fight for supremacy, mankind's battle to rule is nearly over. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that the reason the world is in such a sad and sorry state is that literally, Satan is behind it. But the good news is, the clock is ticking on Satan's authority. We just need to keep our hearts pure and not allow evil to access our thoughts and minds. Now in his message called God's Final Witness to the World, Part 5, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. We will end the chapter after 5 weeks of being in this chapter. And you might say, well, it's about time. But I must say that Revelation 11, it is a good thing that we've spent so much time in this chapter. It is one that has been a chapter that has been under much debate, not because of any other reason other than it's difficult. It's a hard chapter. And we've been making our way through it carefully and slowly. And maybe for some, you know, a little bit too carefully, some people have written and said, come on, get going. Well, I don't know what the hurry is. We're going. Hopefully the Lord will be back. Well, that's what I mean. Get going. Finish the Bible before the Lord comes back. Well, I don't know. He's going to come back like we just heard right on time. And it's going to be great because I know that the setting has been in this chapter somewhat of maybe a classroom setting. But I tell you what, when we come to the end of this chapter and you come to the end of this book, you will have known and studied this book more than the average bear. And that's a good thing to keep in mind. Because the truth here, God's word is to never be run through quickly. But today we will cover verses 15 to 19, ending the chapter of what has been entitled God's Final Witness to the World. And there's been a series of events that God has shown us in this chapter as he would be making his final announcements to the world before the tremendous and awesome second coming of Christ. We are now in a portion of scripture that you well know now is called a parenthetical insert. It began in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, and it ended last week in Revelation 11, 14. And so now we pick up in verse 15 to 19, the revelation that is given to John. And so John now is brought back into the scene of chronology. And so for chapter 10 and much of chapter 11, there's been a pause and John has been pulled away and he's been, as it were, zoomed in on certain events that have happened previously. A recap, as it were. Now we begin our journey again in God's revelation to John. Revelation 11, beginning at verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the temple of God, listen to this, then the temple of God was opened in heaven, John says, And the Ark of His covenant was seen in His temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. Church, this is a radical portion of Scripture because it, in a very powerful way, introduces us to the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. It tells us this. Now, you got to watch my hands because we don't have PowerPoint available for you just yet. So you got to watch my hands. Right now, you and I are living in this part of the world at this time. The church age believers, that's us now. Jesus has ascended and gone back to heaven. That's recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 1, at about the 8th verse on. Jesus ascended up out of the sight of the disciples, and there were two men standing by the disciples in white apparel. And they said, "Ye men of Israel, Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus that you saw ascend up into heaven will come again in like manner." Well, how did He ascend? He ascended upward, and the Shekinah, the glory of God, received Him up out of their sight. And they were then, of course, commanded by Christ to preach the gospel all around the world. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and the church was born. And we'll cover parts of this chronology in our study today. But Jesus said that He would be back. Jesus said that He would be coming again. The Bible says that Jesus would return. And in fact, if Jesus of Nazareth does not return, then He is not the Messiah. He has in fact been an imposter, and we still wait for the coming of the Messiah, and we would still wait in our sins as lost people. That's how certain the Bible is about Jesus Christ coming as Lord God and Savior and coming again in the second coming. Now, sandwiched in between His first coming, that is the baby born in Bethlehem, to the second coming of Christ, the King, the Redeemer, in Revelation 19, with all of the saints in the church with Him to earth. In between that time is the church age. That's what you and I are a part of. And at some point in time, that age will end. And the church will, from the day of Pentecost to the moment of the rapture, the church will conclude. There will be no church in the tribulation period as you and I know it. There will be the tribulation saints, or the believers, those who are born again during the tribulation period. And for all of you who are listening right now, and you know, I got to tell you, every time I say that, I kind of get a little bit of goosebumps, because when I say that, I'm looking at you and I'm interacting with you. But it's amazing to me to think that as I say that, if I'm inviting you to be listening, and those of you who are listening, that if you're a Christian right now, you will not experience these events coming upon the earth. The thought enters my mind that this broadcast is going to go out over the International Maritime Broadcast Network to sailors at sea. This invitation goes out to people in Africa and the Middle East and throughout Europe. To think that if you're hearing right now, not only in this sanctuary, but if you're driving somewhere or you're on a ship or you're walking someplace, if you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, God has promised you to deliver you from the wrath to come. And that word wrath to come, excuse me, does not mean hell. That wrath to come is the coming tribulation period when God pours out His judgment and His vengeance upon the earth. So this morning, you want to make sure that you're a Christian and that you know God personally. And as we go through this study, be very careful that you're not a religious person, that your relationship to God is not based upon just your Sunday attendance and then that's it for the rest of the week. That's a dangerous place to be. Today, make sure that you're not in association with things of church or the Bible or the things of God. You may be even able to say, "I know God," but can you say with boldness today that God knows me? These are serious and important questions that this morning you can have answered in your life, because listen, my friend, as we look to these 3 points of this study, we're going to see some very, very compelling reasons why we should know Jesus today. Verse 15, this is what we learn. First point, that as the kingdom of Christ is nearing, as it's coming, know this, that when Christ comes, the Lord will reign on earth. Mark that down. Point number one, God will reign on earth. It says here that then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven. Well, we just enjoyed some loud voices here on earth in this sanctuary. You say, "Well, that's a little too loud for me." Oh, get used to it, because we're going to heaven, and it's going to be loud. "Well, I don't know if I'm going to like it." Well, I suggest you like it. The Bible says loud voices in heaven. And this is what they say. the kingdoms of this world, plural, have become the kingdom, singular, of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Number one under this point is this: man's attempt to govern himself, man's attempt to reign as ruler, as president, as king, is coming to an end. Yes, God has established earthly governments. In fact, Romans 13 says that the governments that are in power have been established by God. And by the way, that's true if you believe in that government or not. If you were born under a government, it could be godless, it could be somewhere in between, it could be right on. God has determined in his predetermined counsel and wisdom to have you and I born in America, or born in Germany, or we have Russians visiting this morning, born in Russia, wherever you might have come from. God has established it so, but the great news is the Bible tells us over and over again, for those of us who are Christians, we get a passport change, don't we? We get a citizenship change. And that change is found in Philippians when the Lord teaches us through the Apostle Paul that our citizenship now is in heaven. And we look for the coming of Christ. The word there mentioned is the word politic. And we are very familiar with that word today. So the end is coming. Christ will establish his rule and reign on earth. The question is, do you believe that? You say, well, Pastor, you look too young to be walking around with a sandwich board on and a long white beard and long white hair saying, the end is near. People laugh when they hear about the end is near. First of all, the world will not believe that. You know that? They won't believe it because it implies the end of man and the beginning of Christ in the world as we know it. But the Bible makes it very clear. Listen, we're getting low on angels here. In fact, we're down now to the seventh angel. He's the last one. There were seven of them. This is the blowing of the trumpet of the last one. And from Revelation chapter 12 to 19, we will now cover a brief period of time in those chapters over that long stretch of scriptures. But the attempt of man to reign is nearly over. That's an interesting thing because God has already promised us in Genesis 6:3. He says, and the Lord spoke and said, my spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, will not always strive with man forever, but his days shall be 120 years. Now, what does that mean? That word was given to Noah and his generation. And when Noah preached that word from the mouth of the Lord, it was 120 years to the day the flood came. He said, well, I don't believe in a flood. Well, you will later. God says it happened. History says it happened. Archaeology says it happened. A great flood came and turned the world, as it were, inside out or upside down. God says, my spirit will not always strive. This word strive in Hebrew is an interesting word. It means to sail a straight course, meaning God will not always sail a straight course into man's heart. He will not always be speaking to you directly and wooing you, as the old Puritans would say, that the Holy Spirit is drawing you to Jesus. Now, I want to make something clear. This week, I had to have a physical here. It had something to do with insurance and the church and all that kind of weird stuff. But anyway, the doctor came to me, which I thought was pretty cool. And he came into my office and he brought all his EKG stuff and his scale. And drew my blood and all this stuff and did the EKG thingy. And he said, you know, what's going on with Calvary Chapels? When I drive by one, they're all very large. And he said, I go to a church, and he named the church. He goes, it's not growing, it's not exciting. My kids don't want to go. What's the deal? Well, it was in the middle of VBS. There were snakes going by and adventurers and all kinds of safari people and jeeps and stuff. And he saw the stuff going on. And I said, well, this is VBS this week. He goes, yeah, but what's the thing, you know? And I said, well, you know, I don't know where you go, but you ought to go to a Bible teaching church. Watch what happens. Well, why does that make a difference, he said. And I told him, it's just all about God. It's all about Christ. And when people hear the Bible, they respond to it. It's nothing that we're doing. People have come and they've asked us, what is it you guys are doing? We're not doing anything but giving Bible and worshiping the Lord. And Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. So we do that in Norco and Chino, Chino Hills, Pomona, Hollywood, right? London, Berlin, everywhere else too. We're just following him. God does the rest if you follow him. Church doesn't have to be some liturgical practice, some religious thing that you don't know what's going on and you're there, but where are we all going? God wants to be very clear to you that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he reigns and that he's coming back. You say, well, I have a question right there. You said that man's attempt is nearly over of reigning upon this earth, but you said Jesus reigns. Both are true. Hear this out. Jesus is enthroned in heaven and he supervises, oversees all that is going on in the earth. However, there are things going on in the earth that he does not approve of, yet the time for judgment has not yet come. All of the evil that you and I see and experience and look at, and look at all the horrible events taking place in the world today, we need to put blame where blame is due. And that blame is primarily, technically, due upon man's neck, because James tells us, where do wars and arguments and murder come from? He said, does it not come from our hearts as we war one with another against each other? That's true. How is it that nation wars against nation? Where does that begin? In the heart, doesn't it? How is it that somebody would perpetrate evil against someone else? Two individuals violating each other from the heart. You say, well, what about Satan? Yes, I was waiting for you to ask. The Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this age. Little g. He's not God. He's the usurper of authority of this age. You want to know why Satan's got so much destructive power in the world? It's because man keeps leaving the door open. There are people who are wondering why their marriage is falling apart. And then they got to stop and back up and realize, well, you know what? I was flirting with that guy all this time. And now I see why my marriage is falling apart. Or maybe I was flirting with that secretary or that woman or that girl. And now my marriage is falling apart. You left the door open. Well, I don't know why my kids have turned out so bad. You know, we didn't want to give them God. We didn't want to ram anything down their throat. So they grew up like an animal, not knowing anything from anything. These are serious things. When man leaves the earth unattended, when man leaves his home or his family unattended, it goes to mischief. This world has gone to mischief. So listen, if there's an earthquake today or somebody murders us today, we can't blame God. This is the world that needs to be, and the evil thereof directed towards Satan. Jesus says, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. But the thief, and he didn't say a thief, he said the thief, Satan, has come to rob, to kill, and to destroy. Satan loves when you're having a bad day. So the Lord is going to come to reign. That's what the book of Revelation is consummated by, the coming of Christ. Man's attempt to reign is nearly over. We know that's true in verse 15 by the sounding of the seventh angel. But listen, the Lord's reign is about to come upon the earth. And that there are loud voices in heaven saying, no, notice this, the camera now goes up to heaven, and now we're seeing through John's eyes again. And this is what he hears. The kingdom, mark it in your Bible. I don't want to get technical here too much. Other than this, some of your Bibles say the kingdoms. That's an unfortunate translation. Drop the S. In the Textus Receptus, which is where the old King James Bible came from, dating back, there are commentators back to 149 AD that have this as I read it. The kingdoms, I should say, sorry, reverse that. Kingdoms, plural, leave the S. The kingdoms, plural, of this world. There are a lot of kingdoms in this world have become the kingdom, singular, drop the S, of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is a wonderful thing because the reign of the Lord Jesus is soon to come. When Christ comes in the second coming, he's going to establish his rule. Now, there's some things that have to happen before that takes place. Number one, the Bible says, and everybody laughed at the Bible until May 14th, 1948, and then from then people zipped their lip. The Bible said in the Old Testament that before Jesus Christ comes back in the second coming, Israel would have to become a nation again. On May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation again. People began to laugh again and say, well, you know, there's no way, how's that going to happen? There's no way. Not only did it happen, but God said, I will speak to my children from all over the world, and I will call them out of all of the countries where they've come, and they will make their migration back into the land, and they will come back into the land in unbelief, not believing in God. And when you look at the nation of Israel today, it's primarily secular, and that kind of freaks people out, but it's true. Unbelieving Israel today. If you keep going, there's a unification of Europe. The ancient European empire will be resurrected, and that's going on today. It's called the EU, or affectionately spoken of by Europeans I've spoken to in Europe as the USE, the United States of Europe. That's happening right now. All these things are coming together. And if that weren't enough, and by the way, I'm leaving out nearly 300 scriptures that need to take place before the second coming of Christ, nothing before the rapture, but the second coming of Christ, check out this. The Bible says in Revelation 13 that there's going to come a time of technology and of man rule on the earth in the last final glorious moments of man's domain, that man will issue a decree that everybody in the club of a one world government, of a one world religion, of a one world church, that's not a church at all, will have to pledge allegiance to the European ruler and to a global church and receive a number on their right hand or on their forehead. Revelation chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. Now that's interesting when you read it. We'll get to it in a couple weeks or months. The Bible says that in the right hand, not the left, it's not the left. It says right hand. And apparently right hand only, not the left hand, right hand only. And if that's not possible, it says on the forehead. They'll receive a number, a prefix apparently, because everybody will have the same prefix. Whatever area code you live in, if you live in a certain boundary, you all have the same prefix. Whatever that prefix might be, three-digit number. The Bible tells us that this prefix of this man to come out of Europe will issue a decree that you cannot be involved in his banking system and his brilliant economic strategies unless you receive a prefix upon your number. Apparently, you have an existing number. And the prefix will be, anybody want to venture? Exactly, 666, which, by the way, in Hebrew thinking, the number six is the number of man. When you put three sixes together in Hebrew thinking, that's man declaring himself to be God. Isn't that interesting?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called God's Final Witness to the World, Part 5. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. You know, God's Final Witness to the World, Part 5, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and its unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, everybody, this is David Jay in studio with my friend, Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. But let me tell you, I am counting down until Countdown arrives at my house. I'm really excited about this new book. Now, it's called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. And it's a brand new book you wrote about the indicators happening today, you know, right now, that point to prophecies and end times events. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, you know what? Lately, with all the things that have been going on in the world, mm-hmm. of course, more specifically these last few years,
right?
But of late, with wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus put it, just quickly put together a book from recent messages that I've done.
Yeah.
And I think that people will find it extremely timely because, of course, there's been a lot added in between the sermon notes and all that are relevant and current to this moment. I think people are going to find it insightful. And the goal, of course, is to bring the hope of the gospel to people.
Yeah. Now, Pastor, you mentioned the timeliness of this book with all that's happening in the world today. It feels like these days we might be running out of time.
Yeah, exactly why both the cover will depict time fleeting and the title Countdown itself. I think, Davey, when you look at it, people, believer and non-believer, there's a sense of urgency among people. I know among those who are believers, there's a sense of urgency, basically to get the job done about getting out the gospel. But for the non-believer, I think they sense an overwhelming grip of things being temporary.
Mm-hmm.
The zeal, for example, of passions are now quickly becoming not the answer. Unfulfilling, which it used to take a lifetime of pursuing sex, drugs, and rock and roll, as people would say it.
Right.
Power, education. Now they're finding out really quick, wow, you know what? This leaves a really bitter taste, and I'm still empty, and I need to find hope.
Well, there you have it. The new book by Pastor Jack, Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. And you can order it right now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/offer. That's jackhibbs.com/offer. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.